Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC, this is the Soundcheck Podcast, our series of live in-studio performances, streaming live on Facebook and YouTube. I'm John Schaefer. Pete Yorn began his career with a bang, with a gold record in 2001, and in the time since, has been releasing solo albums and a couple of collaborations with Scarlett Johansson on major record labels. But his brand new album is on his own label. It has a little bit of a different story to it, and it brings Pete Yorn to our studio to play both some of his new songs and an old favorite. Here, with the song called Calm Down, is Pete Yorn. That's Pete Yorn with Calm Down from his brand new album just came out called Caretakers. And Pete, first of all, great to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
I'm so excited to be here.
That song is not only the lead-off track on Caretakers, it also seems to kind of set the mood for the entire record. A lot of the songs may have a kind of bittersweet or even melancholy cast, but there are constant reassuring lines that are dotted through it, like taking care of people. And I don't know if that's where the title comes from or if that was like a conscious decision on your part, but you know, so how much of this was a single tale unfolding?
I think the songs fit together, and to me I do see a story and a through line, and You know, it's my first record that I've ever put out that has a song called Caretakers, and the title of the record is called Caretakers. So I see how everybody's connected as I go through life. I see more and more kind of the responsibility we have to each other, and I think it's a great thing, and sometimes it's a frustrating thing. Sometimes you got to do stuff, you got to get your hands a little dirty, but that's part of life. And I think, you know, all the songs kind of dip into that in different ways.
Yeah. And the idea that, as Calm Down explains, you know, that you can go through hard times and kind of ride through it knowing that things get better.
Yeah, you know, you'd be walking around and you catch your brain somewhere else and you're kind of missing what's going on in front of you. And so the song is definitely a call to be present. And I say calm down, I'm not really telling anybody other than myself, you know, to kind of just calm down. Let's not, you know, there's a line in the verse or in the pre-chorus is, I wish I knew then what I know now.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, I learned a lot of stuff later in life, more maybe I needed it later in life, but sometimes I wish, like, wow, I wonder if I was more awake when I was a kid or when I was in my 20s, you know, where that would have led me. I don't know, but the biggest thing in that song for me is the last couple lines is all the tears I cried, you know, literal tears and you know, metaphoric tears and pain. You know, life is full of pain. Being alive, you're gonna meet up with pain. That's just the way it is, you know. But no, most of the things you go through, adversity and all that, I look back and I'm like, yeah, that sucked at the time, but I wouldn't trade it in for anything because it got me to a different place. It forced me into a different place. So there's that message is in the song for sure.
Yeah. What was the making of this record like? I mean, it's on your own label. It's the, you know, the debut effort on Shelly Music, your label. Was it a different experience in the process of actually writing and recording the songs?
This felt a lot more like my first couple records, where it was me and one other person in the studio kind of creating as we went.
And that person in this case was?
Jackson Phillips. I had the good fortune of meeting Jackson Phillips, who's in a band called Daywave, at a birthday party for our mutual manager that we have. It was a 50th birthday party up in Malibu. It was kind of late in the night, and he had been on my radar a little bit because I had seen some of his work through social media and stuff like that, and he apparently kind of grew up, you know, exposed to my music and listening mm-hmm. to that stuff. So it was cool. We met and we kind of hit it off, and it was just like a casual plan, like maybe go to his studio at his house. And 3 months went by, like totally forgot about it, really. And then someone emailed us and was like, yo, you guys should get together. And so I went to see him at his house in Echo Park, California. And the first day we just talked about music and what we were into, and we hatched a plan, like maybe we should record like an EP, you know, songs or something like that. And so I went back a few days later and we recorded a song immediately called Never Said No, which is not on the record, but it'll probably be on the next installment. And we ended up recording like 25 songs and we just kept going, and it was pretty much a song a day. At the beginning it was songs that I had written at home and like as a jumping off point, you know, and we would kind of just produce them up. And then after about four of them, we just started writing songs together. And he's such a great partner and such a great person to work with, and he was so generous with his time and just welcomed me into his home. And I always joke, as long as Jackson will have me over, I'll go keep working with him. We'll keep doing songs. So
day one, you said it's you and Jackson and you're just kind of talking about what you're into, you know, musically. What do you say when someone says, so what are you into musically?
Well, I think initially we were talking, he had just put out a record and he was feeling frustrated. Like he feels that I think he had just had a new label that put it out, and he put a lot of faith in them, and he was frustrated with the way that it turned out. Mm. I think, you know, and I think he was beating himself up a little bit. I was like, man, I've been there before, but like sometimes you could look at it, you know, in a very kind of false way where you're putting all the blame on yourself, but really you're just having an open mind. I think that, you know, Jackson is the type of creator, like he can do everything himself. He could write beautiful songs, play all the instruments and record them by himself. Mm-hmm. And that's how he had success early on. And so I think he kind of gave up some of his creative control on this one just to see where it would take him. And, you know, I think it came out beautiful, but he didn't like it as much. But, you know, it was good to talk to him about that because he was frustrated. And I had been there myself very, very often, not too often, luckily, but, you know, often it happens over a long, long
Well, especially when you're playing in the deeper waters of the major record labels.
Yeah, well, you just, it's nobody's fault. You just kind of, if you have an open mind, you know, like, I think in some ways it takes more strength to say, all right, I'm not going to be a control freak. I'm going to try some things out. And sometimes you have some great results and sometimes not so great results. But that could happen. That's recording music. Like, it's really sometimes difficult. You could like play a beautiful version of a song, have a great song, and you know production is a huge thing, and if it's just a little off or you don't capture the right vibe on it, it's just not going to be as good. So it's a very delicate thing and elusive thing. And we did dip into music, like, what are you listening to? And he you know, he's always like pouring through those like Spotify playlists and all that stuff, the stuff that like, it like kind of overwhelms me. It's too much music, you know. But he played some cool stuff for me. He played me an artist that I had never heard of before, and this guy Alex G. Sandy, as he goes, Alex G. parentheses Sandy. It was awesome, like great melodies, really cool stuff. It's funny because every time I talk about him, no one's heard of him, but he's awesome. And when I heard it, it reminded me of one of my favorite bands, Guided by Voices, which Jackson had never really listened to. So then he went deep into Guided by Voices. And
that's a very deep rabbit hole.
Yeah, it was very. And we had fun with that, you know. And
that's a band that has put out more albums than even Robert Pollard, the leader of the band, can count.
Yeah, they'll just like, you know, it's like there's a new double album. And then like like a month later, you're like, we'll get an email. There's another double album. You know, it's like, oh, my God. But they're out. They're touring. They're doing great.
And you've worked with Robert Pollard, right?
Well, he pulled me up on stage at Austin City Limits, and we sang a song. But I was before, you know, we were doing shots of tequila in the and backstage. And drinking a lot of beers, and that was my favorite thing about Guided by Voices. You'd go and you drink beer with your friends, and you get rowdy. You know, that was like the way the show was. So I was definitely too drunk to be on stage singing, but I was not going to not come up on stage. But I will say, some of my first. Like when I had a band together, some of my first opening slots were opening for them, which was very cool.
We're speaking with Pete Yorn. The new album is just out about a week or so ago, and it's called Caretakers. You've done the opening track for us. You want to go to track two? And
yeah, we can do track two.
I Want to Be the One. Does this require retuning, or are you good to go?
I think I'm good.
All right, here's Pete Yorn, solo acoustic.
I will just say a couple years ago I had a song called I'm Not the One, and then some circumstances in my life changed and now I'm singing I Want to Be the One. So just for some context.
Pass the time.
tell you in my dreams we made it. The picture that was on the faded. Can't think of anything else I ever wanted to do.
In the long musical tradition of answer songs, that is Pete Yorn basically answering one of his own songs. Instead of I'm Not the One, I Want to Be the One, which is on the brand new album called Caretakers. And again, that image of taking care of people. I want to be the one who, I mean, it could be a person singing to his or her spouse. It could also be a parent singing to a child. Now, has being a parent kind of changed your worldview, the way you approach songwriting, storytelling?
I think so. It's funny, when my girl's going to be 4 next week, and when we first had her, people were asking me kind of right out of the gate, has it changed your songwriting? I'm like, I don't know. I haven't even written a song yet, and I'm just starting out here. But yeah, there's no way that it can't seep into just what you're thinking about, you know? And yeah, I think I was pretty non-committal before we had a kid. A marriage forced me in it, but it got me through that a little bit as well. But yeah, once we had our little girl, it was just like, all right, you're locked in now. And I remember sitting, just me and her, she was like kind of sitting up on the floor, and she might have been maybe 8 months old at that point or something. And I was just thinking like, yeah, I want to be the one who's watching you. I want to be the one who's there right now and helping you through all that. I don't want to be not around.
Right.
And my wife is pretty much, you know, one and done. So I don't think there's going to be another little one to have that experience with. So like, I really want to savor these early years. That's really special to me. And whenever I'm out of town, I see like little kids. I never had this appreciation before, and I see little kids walk around just like, oh, like little puppies to me. It just really changed me so much.
Yeah.
I know it's cliche, and you know, but it really did affect me in a pretty cool way. So.
But you are in a position where you do have to be away for stretches of a time.
Well, I've made a conscious choice. You know, it's like 2 weeks max.
Okay.
You know, I used to tour like 18 months straight back in the day.
Yeah.
And it's not really. Where my head is at. I love playing shows, and I love interacting with the people who come see me, and it's such an awesome thing that I don't take for granted, but I also really just don't want to miss these early years with my girl, and that's it, you know?
Well, and people who have followed your career will know that the sight of you solo with just an acoustic guitar strapped on is not an unusual thing. You've done this even at the height of, you know, when the band was doing 18-month tours, you were constantly doing this sort of thing, right?
Yeah, I used to do, like, every time I would have a concert in a city, I would take my guitar and go to, like a little record shop and play a little acoustic set there beforehand, and we would record it, and I think there's, like,
a couple of EPs of that stuff,
there's like
right?
60 of them, I think, floating around. All these different. So a lot of the stores aren't
getting
around
into Guided
anymore.
By Voices territory there, Pete.
But I did burn out a little bit doing that. I had to take a break. I think I pushed myself too far, but I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah. So people have been saying, wow, you know, Caretaker's first record in 3 years. It's not like you haven't been doing anything in those 3 years. You know, there's a young lady who you've been keeping an eye on, but also yet another collaboration with Scarlett Johansson after the first one, which was 10 years ago. You did one last year.
Yeah.
And she has intimated that maybe in another 9 or 10 years, there'll be a third volume.
Yeah, well, she just said that because it seems to be every 10 years we get together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And there's also a Liz Phair collaboration, the Pixies cover.
Yeah, she sang on Here Comes Your Man.
Here Comes Your Man.
And she did her best Kim Deal, I think.
Yeah. So what do you get out of the collaborative process that you don't get as the person who goes into the studio and has historically played a lot of the instruments on his own record, done his own writing?
Just take some heat off me, you know?
Yeah.
It's cool to hear other people's perspective on things. You know, like everything I sing is very framed through the story I'm telling myself in my head or what's going on in my life. And, you know, when I get to kind of split up that thing a little bit and to hear someone else sing it, it always puts a new twist on something. You know, obviously beyond the Pixies cover and
right.
stuff, or singing with Scarlett. Yeah, Scarlett adds just like her dimension, you know, to the words and everything, and I see it in new ways. And so as a musician who likes to write and explore all this stuff, it's just another angle that feels like interesting to me.
Yeah. Now, of course, she's best known as an actress, and you actually started doing film music even before Music for the Morning After, the first record, came out. You had done some film music, right?
No, people, yeah, it always gets messed up. I was making Music for the Morning After and I was about done with it.
Uh-huh.
And from those early tracks, it led to scoring the Farrelly Brothers movie, the Me, Myself, and Irene.
Yeah.
So it kind of happened at the same time.
Okay.
But I was already signed to Columbia at that point. And I remember getting a call from Pete Farrelly. Like, we were supposed to go in and mix Music for the Morning After maybe in like a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all I was focused on. And he's like, Pete, I heard some of these songs. I really like it. I want you to score the movie. And I was like, what? You know, I couldn't believe it. I was like, well, I have to do this. I was a huge fan of the Farrelly Brothers. And so we figured it out and got it done.
Yeah.
But luckily there was a lot of songs in that movie. So it
right.
wasn't that much score. It wasn't too hairy, but yeah. So it happened around the same time.
And have you ever gone back to that? Have you had a similar experience at any point in these past 18 years?
You know, my heart's really in just kind of writing songs
yeah.
for my own expression. But I've definitely had a lot of songs get, you know, put in film and TV. It's always a cool thing to see.
Right.
You know, music and film is something that's so powerful, really, when it comes together in the right way. It just takes something over the top. But I'm trying to think. I'll probably forget some. It's been so long now, but I scored a documentary for some friends of mine that actually won some festival last year.
So a recent thing.
Yeah, it was in the last 2 years, I want to say. They did
yeah.
this documentary on these this tribe that lives in the hills in Jersey, in Ramapo, the Ramapo Indian tribe. Have you heard about them?
No. Well, I mean, I assumed there was.
Yeah,
I mean,
and it's about identity, and the score is really like... you know, we use a lot of dobros and slide guitars. It's kind of spooky.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this tribe there that it's about identity. They believe that they're descended from Native American tribe. And then there's like these anthropologists who try and say, no, you're like some sort of mix,
mm-hmm.
you know, between European settlers and some Caribbean slaves or something like that. And so they're into it. And it's just a great film about identity. Like, well, if you believe this is who you are, maybe that is who you are.
Yeah.
Maybe that's more important than what any anthropologist is trying to say. Stephen Orritt directed, and he has a new film coming out. If you look up Stephen Orritt documentary, Ramapo Indians, you will find
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, so here's Pete Yorn with us, solo acoustic, playing new songs from Caretakers, and now is the time where you strap on the harmonica and... you want to do your big hit?
This was the first song of my first record.
Life on a Chain.
Yeah, let's see. I think this is the song that got me my record deal. Is it?
I live on a chain. And you share the same last name. There's a joke, I sent a bottle of whiskey. There's a choke, I said it made you feel dirty. And I was waiting over here for life to begin. I was looking for the new thing, and you sunshine, head in my front line. I was alone, you were just around the corner from me. Time alone is good, I spend my day in the city, in a dirty neighborhood. You know you'll never convince me. So I sold the town away, I couldn't wait to forget you. I was killed in half a day, I hadn't time to regret you. I was waiting over here for life to begin, looking for the new thing. You were the sunshine, head in my front line. I was alone, you were just around the corner from me.
Pete Yorn, solo acoustic here in our studio with Life on a Chain, originally from his first record, Music for the Morning After, all one word. That's the song that got you signed to your first major.
I think it pushed it over the top.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
So that album, when it came out, sold, I don't know how many copies, but way north of 500,000 because it was certified gold. Nobody sells records in those kinds of numbers anymore. So to become a record label yourself, to release the new album, Caretakers, on your own label, how does that feel? I mean, does it feel like a different process somehow?
Shelly Records is like, if you look back at my early demos from 1996, 97, that was the name that I would put on it. It was Shelly, ah. Shelly Music, it would say Shelly. And Shelly was my first pet hermit crab that I had. I got in Long Beach Island, New Jersey when I was 7 years old, and I had this little crab named Shelly, and I don't know why it became the name of the label. So years later, you know, after being on many different labels and putting records out that way, it was just time. You know, it was a little bit scary but a little bit liberating at the same time. But now, you know, I talk to some people and they're like, Pete, you know, you just press a button and your record is out globally right now, you know. You just so we put together a little team to help kind of get the word out and help distribute this in some stores besides just online. You know, we're kind of learning as we go, but I feel like we're getting more focus and kind of a better push and doing it our way than I have on some of the majors. So it feels pretty cool.
And simply because I've never met a metaphor that I didn't like to stretch ad absurdum, the idea of the hermit crab, you know, you have the hermit crab in its shell and you have to continually give it bigger shells as it grows. It goes into different shells, right? And as you've grown as an artist, you go from Columbia to Capitol. Was it Capitol? I mean, you've moved around, you know, from one musical shell to another, and this is your current one, I guess.
Yeah, it just feels like with everything that we have at our fingertips now, and for the type of artist that I am, it just makes sense to do it this way.
All right. Well, Pete, it's a terrific record. It has a great vibe to it, and I'm really glad that you've come in and played some of it for us today. Thank you so much.
This was so fun. So great to meet you.
Thanks. This is Soundcheck. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.